Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Matthew 13, and I'm going to get us started in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you that your word says, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Blessed are our eyes, for they see the truth. They see what you are teaching. Blessed are our ears because we hear your word. And we not only hear your word, O God, but we apply your word in our lives. Blessed are those who do these things. So we ask, Lord God, that you would settle things around us tonight, and that you would open up our eyes, open up our ears, and let us hear the word of the Lord tonight, that we might apply these things in our lives as we stand in the gap for the nations of the earth. I thank you, Lord. In your precious and holy name, amen. So I was, this will be a heavy message tonight, okay? So this will be, so just gear up, just prepare yourself. It's a heavy message because the Lord was speaking to me, and he's been speaking to me for several months about the nations of the earth. And I had not been released really to share those things. He just put a hold on it. And I shared the things that I will share with you tonight. I shared them with the people that we had the points of contact in those nations for them to begin praying. But this week, well, it's actually been a couple weeks now, he said, it's time. And so I know that if the Lord is saying it's time, that means we're ready for this. And you're ready for this. And we're ready to take hold of what God is telling us. And we're ready to gear ourselves up and stand in the gap for our nations. So as I share these things, and there's several nations that the Lord took me to. And indescribable. That's all I can say. It was indescribable. And so if there's a nation that you have a burden for, take special attention to what I share about that nation. I'm not going to touch all the nations of the earth. We'll be here all night. But I am going to touch several. So you'll know what to pray for on behalf of that nation. So Matthew 13, verse 24. Another parable. Now, this is when the Lord is, he's at the seaside, he's in the boat, and the crowds are all gathered around him, and he is releasing parables. And you know, this really is about the seeds of Matthew 13. We see several of these also released and written in Mark 4 and in Luke 8. So another parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And I was reading that, and I read it again, and I read it again, because we're going to be in this chapter for a little while. So, you know, be ready for that. Over the next few weeks, we'll be in this chapter for a while. And I read it, and I read it again, and this phrase stood out to me. And it said, but while men slept. And I said, wait, what? While men slept? And I began to seek the Lord about this, and he said, yes, while men slept. I said, you know, like they went to sleep at night. He said, while men slept. Like, the sleep of death? He said, while men slept. And it hit me. And as I go through the nations, you're going to hear something tonight. While the church slept. While the church slept. See, this is the issue God is getting at. While men slept, the enemy came in and he sowed tares among the wheat. What do tares do? Tares literally wreak havoc on the soil. Tares, you know, it's weeds, it's a blackened seed, and some of these tares, I mean, they're strategically, maliciously planted in Middle Eastern countries. They would do this, and it would take them sometimes years to get rid of the tares that have been sown among the wheat. While men slept, the enemy came in and sowed tares among the wheat. They were poisonous, so when the harvest came in, they either had to hand separate everything or throw the whole thing out because they were toxic. While men slept, the enemy comes in and he does what takes years to uproot from a piece of land. That can devastate a community for years that will impact their harvest and their ability to feed their families while men slept. The enemy came in to bring destruction to a plot of land. While the church slept, while men were busy about their lives, while they were striving for success, while they were striving for the lust of the flesh, while they were striving for everything that is not God, the enemy has come into our nations and sown seeds, sown tares among the wheat. This is the fruit of what we're seeing. This is the product of what happens when the people who are called by his name, capital H, his, fail to humble themselves. They fail to pray. They fail to seek his face. This is what happens. Drought, famine, pestilence, locusts, devastation to the very thing that will feed your families. That will feed your families and enable them to thrive. Our focus has got to come back around to our God. When 9/11 hit, people flocked to their churches because they had to find God, right? They never knew when the next plane would crash or where it would crash. They felt fearful. It ignited something in people all across the nation, not only across our nation, but across Canada. Because America was hit. You know, the most powerful nation in the world got hit. People flocked to the churches. People wept for things they didn't even know why they were weeping. They were scared. Is war coming? So they flocked to the churches. Our book, Mom's book that she wrote, Prepare for the Winds of Change 2, which is an expanded edition of Prepare for the Winds of Change 1, couldn't stay, we couldn't keep it in the office. It was being shipped out so much. It was taking, you know, carloads of boxes every day because people were scared and they wanted to know what was going to happen next. What's coming? What do they need to prepare for? They were scared. But over the course of the last 20 years, that fear left them. No longer fresh. And they forgot about the importance of being in those pews, of weeping on their faces before God. They forgot what they were actually supposed to be sowing into the nation. And so while they slept, the enemy came back in and he sowed some more tares. So we forget as a people, we forget that we will actually reap what we sow. We forget about that. You know, when you work the fields and you're running your harvest machine every year, you don't forget that as easily. But when you live in the city and sowing involves getting in your car and going to the grocery store and pulling that piece of that loaf of bread off the shelf, you just have a different concept of what it means to sow things into a nation. You become separated and detached from it. The Lord used examples that people would understand and be able to grab hold of. So as I go through this list, I want you to know that the Lord told me both times, he's taken me on this journey twice now, and with an expanded edition that happened a couple weeks ago. He took me on this journey twice now. And as I share, I want you to know that both times he said to me, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And I thought, well, that's in light of what I'm about to share. I thought that that was a very interesting statement. But listen with me. Listen while I share. And understand that knowing what's been sown in our soil and what's been sown in the nations of the world will allow us to go on our faces and seek his face. To prevent the harvest for what's been sown from coming forth. He took me over America, and he said, the light is shining in America for the first time in 50 years. And I now believe that this is associated with the Sanctuary Cities for the Unborn and the initiative of the people of the nation to war within their cities and states to see righteousness prevail. We are seeing people that are rising up and fighting for righteousness. It doesn't matter what the illegitimate man in the White House right now is doing. The people of this nation are rising up. And the first time he took me on this journey, it was in December. And then the second time, like I said, was very recently. Okay, in Canada, and I will put this into our Telegram channel for you after this. So don't stress yourself about missing words right now. In Canada, the Lord told me she has a small remnant fighting for her, so we need to really pray for an increase. we've got to pray for an increase in Canada, because Canada is in great danger right now. Russia, he told me the church is asleep. And because of this, the nation is freezing over. And when he took me over Russia, Russia looked like a slab of meat. That's what it looked like, just this big, thick slab of meat. And it was freezing. I saw the ice crystals forming in the depth of that stake. We need to pray for the fires of revival to come to Russia. In China, what I saw in China, it swallowed up in darkness. And when he took me over this nation, it was consumed in boiling black oil. It looked like tar. It was so dark and thick. It seemed alive. It was angry. It was vicious, even as it attempted to swallow up the nation. The Lord pulled me back, and I saw it, a beam of light coming up from the center. I asked him what this was, and he replied, this is the underground church. The only reason China has not been completely consumed in judgment is because of the praying underground church. There's severe, severe judgment coming to China, and we really need to be praying, really need to be praying for China. Africa. He took me over the continent of Africa, and the nations were rumbling violently. And I asked the Lord, why, how, so much being done by our JA teams, how is this possible? He told me that the elite are working to not only destabilize the continent, but to wipe its inhabitants out. They want the land. He pulled me back, and I saw their debt rising and tribal slavery increasing within the nations of that continent because of this debt. Poverty was so great that pennies a day were considered great wealth. You know, since this time, at this particular time, we had a conference, Pastor Shio Ajiboy Ode, Mom, and I, along with several other ministers that participated in this, held an event entitled Africa Returns. And when we did, God heard our repentant cry, and Mom released a prophetic word over them. It was so powerful. It was so powerful. And she spoke about the fires of revival. They were unleashed on the people. And the people were so excited. They were so engaged with this that they took this out to their villages. It was a very powerful time, and I firmly believe they're going to pursue this and going to open their faces and take the face of God on behalf of their nation. From Africa to America saw a band. It was like a rubber band. It was about 4 to 5 feet wide. It extended from Africa to America. This was the result of slavery. But our repentance has brought forth a harvest of freedom from the bondage this band has us under. But the enemy is keeping it attached. How? Through the 1619 Project, through critical race theory. These are being implemented throughout the federal government, academia, corporate structures, etc. However, the Lord came up with a flaming sword and severed that band, and America bounced up like a ball that had been forced underwater when it was released. When it settled, this nation was up about 4 or 5 feet in elevation. It was quite incredible, really trying to drive this nation under by this critical race theory and by the 1619 Project. But we have done so much repentance for slavery, and I've shared this before, that our nation, it's the only nation that has within its founding documents in the amendments that followed a ban on slavery. So the Lord took me again along this journey, and this was just recently. It was between June 3rd and June 7th, and he took me through all of the nations that I just mentioned, and then he extended this. And as he took me over South America, now before he hadn't spoken to me about South America, but he pulled me all the way back, and I saw this fragrance coming up from South America. I saw fragrance, and it looked like petals, flower petals, that were swirling up into the heavens. And I could see it, and I could hear this fragrance. And I asked the Lord what this was. And I saw as revival began to drift down to South America. And it's like a mist, like a cool mist that started to come down on South America. And he said the Catholic Church is about the congregants. Are about to see the truth, and the truth will set them free. I asked the Lord why. He said, because even though they're in deception right now, their stance on abortion and birth control, those who've stood strong against these things, has paved the way for an awakening in the entire continent as to who their God is and truth. And he will be set free. It was really beautiful. It was, I cannot begin to, I wish I could describe it better. Beautiful. He took me over Australia and he said, communism has crept in while the church slept. He said, there needs to be a call to the church to rise up, to repent, and push back the invasion of communism. He said, the Spirit will lead you. If you will rise up, he will guide you. He will strengthen you. Rise up. The time is nigh, saith the Lord God. And he was forceful with that. It was last year sometime. I don't have the date on this right in front of me. But I had a vision of the intercessors pushing back against communism. I had a vision of it here in America. And I know that that stands for any nation that will push back against communism. They will be successful if the intercessors will push back. And then he took me over India. And I have to tell you that this is the probably one of the most devastating things for me. So when the Lord spoke to me regarding this nation, he let me feel the great and terrible dread that's about to descend upon India. While the church has slept, while they've embroiled themselves in idolatry and turned a blind eye to mass abortion, even sex-selective abortion and abandonment of girls that have been born. They had, I think it was last year, 1.5 million girls mysteriously go missing. Newborns. Corruption swept in and blanketed the nation, stealing from even the poorest of the poor. The cry of the people has come up to the Lord's ear, and I cannot begin to tell you the terrible dread that came over me when he showed me this. It stopped my breath. I saw power centers hit and the nation went dark. The elite thought that they were exempt and they were protected, but they too will be in darkness. I saw natural disasters and devastation sweep across the land. All I could do was cry out for mercy. While the church slept, while the people slept, while they became embroiled in the comfort of life, the lust of the flesh, it can be as minimal or as great as you can imagine. The enemy has come in and sown tares among the wheat. It can seem an overwhelming task to tackle something like this. When you hear something like this, it can seem an overwhelming task. When my mom received the visitations that led to the writing of Prepare for the Winds of Change 2, 1 and 2, she received that from the Lord, and she carried that, and she went from church to church to church, crying out, repent, repent, repent. Because she saw the devastation that was about to come. Why? Because the church slept. While the people slept, the enemy has come in and sown tares among the wheat. For 10 years, she carried that burden that judgment was coming and there was no way out. And then the Lord gave her the answer that would stay the hand of judgment. Remember, we will reap what we sow. The Lord told her, if my people will humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways, I will hear their cry. And I will heal their land. I know there's a little bit more in there than that, but that was the key. And that's when we started the Gathering of the Eagles. To travel around this country at strategic locations and seek his face and repent for the sins that weigh heavy on the heart of the Lord, the sins that would bring forth a harvest of judgment. The Lord said, if you will answer the call, I will stay, I will keep war off of these shores until revival comes forth. Do you know how many times we push back war? How many times God in his mercy has shown us the enemy's plans, what the enemy whispers in his bedchambers at night. The Lord speaks to his prophets. Why? So they can warn the people and the people can pray. This is what the Lord is calling us to do. And you think, wow, this is a lot. How can I possibly? I'm only one person in this nation you mentioned. I'm only two people. I don't know anyone else in my nation that will pray. The Lord will bring them to you if you will commit yourself to stand in the gap for your nation. How do I know this? There was a man, his name was Reese Howell. And I'm going to have to close in just a minute because we need to get to prayer. His name was Reese Howells. He was an intercessor. Because of what he did, because he answered the call, because he answered the call of the intercessor, he staved off war on our soil. When Hitler was going around the world, descending, infiltrating nation after nation after nation, millions upon millions upon millions of men, women, and children were killed, brutally killed. Under that man, Reese Howell sought God every day, and the Lord spoke to him and strategically told him how to pray. And we are one of the few nations that were not impacted by having them come on our soil. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. If they will repent and they will turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven. And I will heal their land. This is in terms of pestilence, in terms of famine, in terms of drought, in terms of any harvest that is coming about in a nation as a result of the sins of the people, as a result of the enemy sowing tares in our soil. If the people of the nation will cry out to God, He will hear from heaven and heal our land. This is the call. This is where we are today. This is what the Lord is telling us today. Why? So that we can, on behalf of these nations, seek His face. The one thing that is a common thread among every one of these nations that is facing severe judgment is abortion. Many of them involve late-term abortion. They involve sex-selective abortions. They involve abandonment of the newborns and human trafficking. If the people would repent for those things alone, we would be surprised at the results that would take place. What's happened in our country because we've done this? And I'm not talking about the illegitimate person sitting in the White House right now. What I'm talking about is a people in communities, in cities, in states, who are saying, you're not going to release your agenda, your LGBTQ agenda, your abortion agenda, your critical race theory, your equality acts. You're not bringing it to our state. The people have awakened to the danger that we're in. The people have awakened to the danger. And they are seeking the face of God. They are making decisions that will do what? Change their city. Change their state. 30 cities have sanctuary laws in effect to protect that city. From what? From abortion. The unborn are safe in their city. If the government, federal government, isn't going to release legislation to protect the unborn, which clearly have a life, you've got fingerprints, you've got your own DNA, you've got your heartbeat at 7 weeks in the womb. It's clearly a unique individual growing in the womb. If the federal government won't do it, the cities and the states will. That is of people that are waking up to what the enemy has been sowing in our nation. This is what happens when you pray. So I know this was a very heavy message, and I know that I need to close out. But I want to tell you, God will hear your prayers. If you will commit to it, it doesn't matter what nation you're in, God will hear your prayers and He will push back the plan of the enemy for your nation. He will push back because the repentance has been done. He will push it back. Revival is coming. Revival is coming, my friends. Revival is coming, and to the degree that it will sweep across your nation, sweep across the nations of the earth, is to the degree that the church wakes up, that the people of God wakes up and seeks his face. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your promises. I thank you for your truth. I thank you, Lord, that by knowing the truth, you set us free from the captivity of the enemy. You set us free from the bondage the enemy puts not only us in, but the nation in. You set us free with your truth, with your word. And you release your word through your prophets. Why? So that the people can react and make decisions that are appropriate for the nation, that the people will wake up and stop sleeping while the enemy sows tares in our land. This is the hour, O God. Let us awaken in your precious name. Amen.